The National Disability Insurance Scheme, introduced under former Prime Minister Julia Gillard, is facing major reform. New changes could shift some services outside the NDIS into so-called foundational supports, while tightening rules around what the scheme will fund. The Australian Human Rights Commission says discrimination against Australians with disability remains widespread and must be addressed. The Wire's contributor from 1RPH, Sarah Guise, spoke with Disability Commissioner at the Australian Human Rights Commission, Rosemary Kayes.
Frustrating is most probably the best word. We seem to have got to a point, but we don't be able to seem to take the next step. Education's becoming a real topic of tension. Disability discrimination cases are the most, in fact, they represent half of the complaints that we receive at the Commission. So there's a frustration with the system still not being accessible. We've had the DDA for nearly 35 years, and the NDIS has been in place for a proportion of the disability population, but there hasn't been the work on the critique of the system and where we need to move to be a more inclusive society. So we've achieved so much and we're just not progressing any further.
Do you think there are any particular barriers or challenges that you'd highlight for what's driving that?
I think everyone thought that the NDIS would solve all the problems. I don't think they really, much of the general population, especially the political classes, didn't understand specifically what the NDIS was to do and what work was required around the NDIS. I think that's why all the states just handed over disability and nearly wiped their hands clean and ran off in the opposite direction. And it left the NDIS to do all the heavy lifting. Well, they've now found that that's a very expensive gig. And what hasn't been happening is all that mainstream change that needs to happen.
Is education the area that you see the most complaints to the Commission in?
Education and employment. But again, that's the underlying systems. Aviation is another big area. I mean, I think the assumption that people with disability don't go places and don't have to be places. And I mean, yeah, it's obviously a personal bugbear of mine because I do so much international travel. And there's many aspects of my current job that requires me to travel. And it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult. And there's not a lot of alternatives that are functional. Yeah, we have no high-speed rail.
Does the Disability Discrimination Act need reform? Is that just a function of it being so old, or what's your view on that?
Discrimination law has evolved over the years. I mean, traditionally, discrimination law was seen as one of essentially non-intervention by states where you didn't want them to put discriminatory legislation in place. But then it became obvious, and, you know, people started to notice that there were practices that weren't overt one-on-one discrimination and, you know, not letting acts of discrimination, like excluding people from public places like pubs and clubs and schools and just excluding them on their personal characteristics, and that people could be excluded through practices. And so indirect discrimination, the recognition of indirect discrimination, became much more prominent and more well understood. And see, what we're learning now is that, you know, the DDA has been trying to do all the heavy lifting, trying to identify those areas and address those areas where people were being excluded because the system just doesn't include the breadth of the human condition. And so what happens is you've got a system where the onus is on the person with a disability to take on the system. And it's a heavy load.
Given those barriers to being able to use the Act, do you have any sense of what's not coming to the Commission, of what sorts of things are being excluded?
We don't get, I mean, the data. Goods and services is a pretty big area. Goods and services is a very big area in terms of cases that get listed. Transport's always a big one. But then that gets broken down into rideshare, taxis, you know, trains, planes. So because of the separation of the powers within commission, I'm not involved in any of the individual complaints handling processes, though I do see some of the data after the event, but some of the data doesn't get as granular to understand what the big area of goods and services covers.
Rosemary Kayes from the Australian Human Rights Commission there, speaking with 1RPH's Sarah Guise.